Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
Thank you, Pastor Bruce, my good friend Bruce Ho. I just don't know what it would be like without you. I appreciate you so much and our whole team. This message on Pentecost Sunday is so important and so relevant for where we are as a nation right now. We need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You know, regarding our brother George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery and so many others, these demonic, brutal, barbaric, unbelievable murders have just shaken us to the core. We feel it night and day. All of us are processing our emotions over these very real-to-life situations and the history of the systemic injustice and racism, in particular, against Black Americans. Our hearts grieve and mourn. My wife Lynette and I have had many sleepless nights, agonizing prayer sessions, calling on God and wanting healing and wanting to be there to be permanent breakthroughs along these lines. And that, once again, is why we go back to the scripture and the day of Pentecost, not even realizing how relevant it is, yet 2,000 years ago, there was that much hatred and more at that time. And what did God do? The Holy Spirit began to move. And that's what we're hoping for in our particular situation. I'm always reminded in my times of prayer from God that He has a plan for this nation. He has a plan for our city, and He has a plan for you and for me. And it won't always look alike. We're calling everyone to action, but it won't look alike. We're calling everyone to rise up, but it won't look alike. Nevertheless, we're calling for our church to continue to be a city on a hill and a light to the nations. And that is our calling, and that's an identity statement that Jesus Christ, our Master, our Lord, our Savior, our King, our best friend, He gave us that mandate. I hope today's message will be encouraging to you. I really do. And from my heart to yours, I just want you to know I'm so grateful that Jesus died on the cross, and I'm so grateful, and that is for our sins, and He rose from the dead, that we could be a new creation. And guess what? I'm so grateful that George Floyd, I found out, is a brother in Jesus. And although we miss him in this side, I would have never known him had it not been for his senseless death. But now that I know just a little bit about him, I just am so grateful that I'll get to meet him someday. And you will too. Because the greatness of our Lord and Savior. Now let's get in the Word today and let God speak to each and every one of us. Thank you.
We're going to begin today in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, a very familiar passage, but it says that when the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. And that little Greek expression, they were all together, is not just a physical location, but it meant also that they were spiritually not only ignited, but united. They were united in the Word of God and the purpose of God. The word Pentecost means, it's a Greek word for 50, and the Hebrew word Shavuot is speaking of the festival that the Jewish people would celebrate for the harvest, and they were mandated by God to go up and worship together and celebrate together. So they were on that very day. It's a 50-day journey from Passover to Pentecost, and they had been in that upper room praying and seeking God. So they were united. And I love it that one of the translators or one of the scholars said it wasn't just together, they were together, together. And I love that phrase, that expression. Suddenly, verse 2, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There were devout people dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews. There were devout men from every nation under heaven. Now, the response of what God did at that moment, it was so powerful when the Holy Spirit just literally fell and drenched all the believers, all of those who had been expecting more, something from God, not knowing what it would look like. Have you ever been in that place? You have no idea what it's going to look like, but you know God's coming through. Well, this was an epic, unrepeatable moment in the history of the launching of the church, but it's also aspects of it are totally repeatable. And we see this happening time and time again over the last 2,000 years, where God will pour out His Spirit and touch people and places with His Holy Spirit. We long for that in our lives. We need that in our world right now. And so the response, though, was mixed. You have those who said that they were amazed, and astounded because the Galileans were speaking their language. That was a phenomenon to them. The Galileans were not really known as being the sharpest tack in the drawer. And then all of a sudden they were speaking this eloquent new language. That was the first response, which was absolute amazement. It was mind-blowing. The second response were those who said, it says they were perplexed, and they asked an honest question, what does this mean? So there were those who were amazed and astounded. Then there were those who were perplexed. And the third category were those who mocked them and said, these guys are drunk. They're just out of their gourd. They're stone cold St. Patrick's Day kind of drunk. And they didn't know what was going on. And they began to make fun of the whole thing. Right in the midst of that, in that background, Peter stood up, as was his habit. He stood up and he began to connect what was happening right there with Scripture. Scriptures that had already teed it up, if you will, when Joel, the book of Joel, Peter was quoting, he said that in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. All flesh. The young, the old, the rich, the poor, every aspect of society would be touched. The Jew and the Gentile touched by the Holy Spirit of God. And this was a great fulfillment of it. And then Peter went on to preach this long chapter, Acts chapter 2. And he said in verse 32 that this Jesus, God raised him up. We are witnesses, Peter said. And therefore, exalted at the right hand of God, we have received the promise of the Father. The gift and the promise of the Holy Spirit has been poured out, whom you are hearing today and seeing him work today. Peter then said, he quoted the book of Psalms several times, and he said, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God made this one, both Lord and Christ, and today is the day of salvation. He said, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and Peter said to the rest of the apostles, what do we need to do? And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a promise from God. The promise is for you, your children, and all who are far off in time, in millenniums of time, that this at this particular moment, when he was poured out, it says that it's the Lord is calling all people to himself. The very fact that you have been touched by the Holy Spirit is part of the fulfillment of the promise of God that the Spirit and the gospel of Jesus is for you. God uses and the Holy Spirit works. He uses people who preach, but it's the Holy Spirit who's at work in us, bearing witness and speaking to us in our inner man that this is indeed the gospel and the truth, and he's drawing people. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost, and then so many more major things happen, and I just want to deal with three of those briefly today. The first is that the Holy Spirit was empowering the church. The Holy Spirit was empowering. You know, he, from that moment of being in the upper room, of being together, all the way to the point of them being empowered by the Holy Spirit, then going out and preaching to all the nations. And if you follow Acts chapter 1:8 all the way to the end, Acts chapter 1:8 says that when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to give you the power to be a witness. And you'll be a witness to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And it's not just all nations, but it's all eons, all the ages, until the end of the world. We have been empowered and called by the Holy Spirit and anointed by God to share this great news of what God through Christ has done in our lives. And so the Holy Spirit is empowering the church. Jesus told the disciples to wait in the upper room until the Spirit would clothe you. It's literally like a clothing, something that comes upon us when the Holy Spirit fills us. It's something, someone, namely the Holy Spirit, who comes upon us and gives us something that we've never had before. It's kind of like that day of football practice when you go from warm-ups, and this is dating me way back in my football days, you go from practice and warm-ups, and then all of a sudden the day you get your uniform. Now, your uniform is not like some nice little outfit. My girls always say, Daddy, I like your outfit. I've never worn an outfit in my life, but my wife and my daughters, they use the word outfit. So they might be calling it an outfit. But you know that when you get a football uniform, that there's going to be pain, that there's going to be contact, that you're going to be encountering things that would be considered opposition. In the same way, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, it's because God is sending us into a hostile world where we're going to need the power of God, the power to forgive, the power to be bold, the power to overcome opposition, persecution, whatever it is that's going to come. God wants us to have what it takes to endure, to break through, and have what is needed and what's required to be preachers and transmitters and those who live the gospel in the fullness just through our day-to-day living. We're certainly not all going to be great preachers, but all of us have an opportunity to witness for Christ. So the Spirit moved them from a place of receiving to a place of living this out and actually doing the work of the gospel. And that's something that the Holy Spirit empowers us to do, not just receive, but to do. And you see that over and over and over again. You see it in church history. You see it with the apostles who were there in that age. You see it also with the leaders of the church in China. You see it, him moving literally all over the world. And it's been a privilege to see how God moves in many nations all over the world. That's a great reason that we're called every nation. I'll never forget my first missions trip. I felt compelled in my mid-20s to go to South Korea. I went there. I didn't have the money to go there, but I kept feeling this sense. And I actually put this trip on credit card so that I could take my family. And it was that I hope Dave Ramsey's not watching this. He's the Financial Peace University guy. And he totally says that we don't ever want to have any debt on our credit card. And I did it because I didn't know any other way to obey God, but I felt compelled to it. Now, I do not ask you to do it this way because the Holy Spirit has a tailor-made life for each of us. And that was a moment when I needed to obey God and I knew it's what I needed to do. Well, little did I know that here I would be in transit from the East Coast to San Francisco Airport and then off to Korea when I was in that waiting area in the San Francisco Airport. They had oversold the flight and they asked for volunteers to step up to the desk, and those who would be willing to fly out the next morning, would they give up their seats for a $500 per ticket gift for giving up your travel plan that day. And I began to do the math on my young little family, and it turned out to be a great blessing. And then the next day we came back after they put us up at the Hilton Hotel and they fed us. It happened all over again that morning, and I had more money than I started with because of that and the other blessings that came. It was more than taking care of that entire trip. That's a form of empowerment too. God gives ideas. He gives open doors. He just compels us because the Holy Spirit who lives in us is not just there to be our sweet, nice, little, kind, affirming, healing Holy Spirit, but he also compels us to take action in the world. And we've just considered a great privilege to be those who walk with the Holy Spirit, who flow with the Holy Spirit, and go with the Holy Spirit. Pastor Rice and I, a decade later, after that, in the early 90s, we were in Guam, in Micronesia, in a little island in the middle of the Pacific. We were there to help our friends start a new church. And while we were there, we had checked into the hotel room, and he was laughing. We were sharing a hotel room. We were laughing because the room number was 911. We had no idea what that meant. But little did we know that we would be stepping into a moment where we had to call on God. We had our 911 moment when an 8.2 earthquake began to shake that entire island. Little did we know that we would feel threatened to the very core of our being. I thought that I was going to die. I'm sure he did too. But when we were out, we actually did what you're not supposed to do in an earthquake. We ran to the balcony area overlooking the city, and he was crying out for God. And he was actually doing something that inspired me. He was using verses out of the Bible. He specifically said Psalm 91, which is a prayer of protection. He was crying out Psalm 91. I was rebuking the devil and just, I didn't know, but I was drafting off of his faith. And I just held up. I said, God, honor your Bible right now. Just the Bible, whatever it would take to get God's attention. And miraculously, amazingly, that our hotel, though it looked like it was going down, it did not go down. And God spared our lives. You see, when he calls you to something, he not only empowers you and he not only equips you, but he engages you fully, even in those desperate moments when it looks like everything's going to fall apart. And there's a similar thing happened and a shaking happened just a couple of like weeks or months after, not long after the Acts chapter 2 day of Pentecost, when it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, that in this particular moment of church growth and opposition, it says that when they had prayed, these early disciples, when they had prayed, it says the place where they were gathered was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. I want to encourage you that God is the one who empowered the disciples to continue through all of their storms of life in boldness for the gospel. And not only them, but you and I also have been empowered. And Jesus made the promise, I will be with you to the end of the ages. I'm going to always be with you, and I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So the first thing that the Holy Spirit did that was so dramatic on that day of Pentecost, he empowered the believers, and he also does that for us. He empowered the church. And the second thing is he was uniting the nations. Now, on the day of Pentecost, we didn't have time to read it all. But many nations that represented the entire Roman world, in essence, Rome set out with their mandate, which was to conquer the world by force. And then the Holy Spirit had a totally different mandate, and that was to not take over by force, but in that particular moment was to declare a new king, that Jesus would be the Christ, the Lord and Christ of all, and no longer would people be slaves to a system of oppression. But even if they were living in that, they still did not identify with that because Jesus became King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And isn't it a good time for us to lay hold of that and to look at that? Luke included these nations in a list of them for a reason. It was called the Table of the Nations when he lists those nations in those verses in Acts chapter 2. And it was not an accident because in the very first moment of the Holy Spirit inaugurating and launching the church in this moment, in that particular moment of time, the people were from multi-nations. They were multinational. They were multi-languages. They were multi-ethnicities, and they were multi-generations in the very first church. And that gives us comfort and hope that the Holy Spirit, it's not like the Tower of Babel going up and trying to do something man-made, but the Holy Spirit is coming down from above. Every good and perfect gift comes down from God. This world is replete with disasters and with hardship and with tribulation. Jesus said, in the world, we will have tribulation. We have tribulation. We have nation rising up against nation. And the Greek word for that when Jesus said that is ethnos, or ethnicity against ethnicity. But on that fault line, Jesus said, I'm going to build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it because Jesus is the uniter of nations. He's uniting ethnicities. He's uniting people groups. I love our church in New York City. I love our church in Nashville, Tennessee. I love our churches in Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina, and all over the world. Our churches represent a flavor of heaven. It's like we're like a suburb of what's going on in heaven. In heaven, it's multi-ethnicity, it's multinational. Every tribe, every tongue, they all worship God together around the throne. And that's what God is doing in this hour. Jesus has torn down the barrier of the dividing wall between God and man, but also between people groups and people groups, so that God might really truly give us a Pentecost experience in our local settings. And even through this setting right now, we are being bonded and united together, and we're always better together. This is what our great healer does. We're not like the world is, at odds always about everything. Yes, we battle with injustice. Yes, we battle with traumatic situations that have been happening even recently. Yes, all of this is going on, but simultaneously, don't forget, look what God has already done. God is pulling people together from different socioeconomic backgrounds to display His glory and His splendor through the local church and through this church that we are seeing established online. It's an amazing thing that we're still better together, even when we, because of this pandemic, we don't get to see each other and be together, but we are because we're born of the Spirit of God. And the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, dwells in me, dwells in red, yellow, black, white, every nation where God is exalted His Son Jesus and the gospel is being preached. It's a miracle. I had a really wonderful experience not long ago with, I was in a restaurant in the Upper West Side of Manhattan, and I was with some of my friends from the Bronx, and they were all people of color. And while we were together, they had put us in this particular spot of the restaurant, and we were around a few other people, and we were rejoicing and laughing so hard that a table elderly white ladies, sorry, but they were, and they were getting upset because we were making so much noise. When first I was gently apologizing, and then after it kind of went on, I began to think, I wonder if this is a racial thing. And I began to get really angry about that in my heart, of course, but I didn't know for sure. And at the end of that particular moment, because I remembered who I am, I remembered my mission, and the people with me were the same. We prayed for them silently. We prayed for them quietly. And we thought, let's have a gospel moment. The gospel is indeed the answer to the world today. And at that moment, when I was presented by my waitress, I was presented the check for the meal. I picked up their check too. And I did that because I felt like even if it's just heaping hot coals of fire back on them, and that's what I need to do, because I need to be a lover and a forgiver because of what the Holy Spirit has done in me. In Romans chapter 5, it says that God sent the Spirit who pours out His love, God's love, in our hearts. And when we did that little simple act of overcoming, it was amazing. All of a sudden, what felt tense and what felt wrong, all of a sudden, it got flipped. That script was flipped because, thank God, for the Holy Spirit who took over that moment. And it became a beautiful moment as my African-American friends were literally sitting at their table and they're all taking selfies together. And those elderly ladies were rejoicing and they were happy and they got blown away by the kindness of God in that moment. And I hope that we don't forget what the Holy Spirit can do, even in tense hours, even nation against nation. I've been in a room with Japanese and Chinese people. I've been in a room with Jewish people and Germans. I've been in a room where there's blacks and whites who are hostile. And when the Holy Spirit begins to move, the Holy Spirit has the power to unite the nations instead of divide the nations. And that brings me to my third and my final point, and that is the Holy Spirit, as the gift of God, brings intimacy with God in our hearts. And this is something I don't ever want to let go, that He is called the Helper. He's called a gentle dove. He is called so many different examples and analogies of who the Holy Spirit is, water and wind, the wind of God, the pneuma of God, the blessing of God. The Holy Spirit, in all of these different forms and fashions, ministers to us right where we are. And there's a scripture that I love, and it's become a theme scripture for me personally, that the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. And it's a benediction that Paul gives in 2 Corinthians, and that's out of the Message translation. But you can begin to get a sense of this, of how intimate God wants to be with us because of and through the Holy Spirit. Just remember, we would just be a shell of Christianity without the Holy Spirit. We might have the doctrines down. We might have the punch list of the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed. We might have that. But without the Holy Spirit, we're so empty. There's so little that we have. Yes, we could have the way. We might even have the truth, but we want the life. Jesus said He's the way, the truth, and the life. And the Holy Spirit is the life-giving Spirit of the triune God. And He wants us to have life, and He wants us to know Him, know God, through the Holy Spirit, in a very deeply personal way. I love and admire how my wife seeks God. And she does it normally in the morning. She reads the Bible, she prays, and then more often than not, she will go on a jog. And every time she gets back from a jog, I ask her, it's because now it's a habit. I said, what did God show you while you were on your run? And she begins to download what God gave her. That is her way of connecting with God. Now, me, I am nothing like that. I mean, when I go on a jog and people are passing me, elderly people are passing me, I mean, it's crazy. I begin to feel like I'm not healthy, I'm not well, I'm going to die, I'm going to have a heart attack. And man, that's just not how I connect with God, although I'm in favor of exercising, of course. But what I want you to know is that the intimacy that God has for you is in a way that makes sense to you. You may hear from God in a jacuzzi. You may hear from God at work. Everything we do is worship to God. But the main thing is the Holy Spirit wants to connect with you and upgrade your walk with God on this day of Pentecost. I'll be bold and say that because I believe it's true. But the main thing is that we really need to know God the Father. We need to know God the Son. And it seems like a lot of people know about Jesus, Yeshua, Isa. A lot of people know about Jesus around the world. But do we know the Holy Spirit? In Acts chapter 19, Paul went to Ephesus. And he asked, there were some disciples there. They were disciples of John the Baptist. And he said, have you heard about the Holy Spirit? Or do you know about the Holy Spirit? And they said, no, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And I thought, that sounds like a lot of Christians I know. They know the Father, they know the Son, and they know the Holy Scripture. But they don't know the Holy Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit moves in our lives, he rearranges things and he does some things without our permission. Now, that's not to say that the Holy Spirit would ever embarrass or the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit wants to empower us and make us more like Jesus Christ. That's what he wants to do. I was reading recently about a third person in Apple computers. I'd never known about a third person in Apple computer. I knew about Steve Wozniak, certainly Steve Jobs, but what about this third unnamed person? There was a guy named Ronald Wayne who was the third founder of Apple Computers, and after a little while, he sold out his shares for $1,500 or something like that, and he was out of the Apple arrangement. My friends, can I just say, let's never let that happen to us with the triune God. We want to know not just the Father and the Son, but the Holy Spirit in a real, in a loving, in a daily basis to have intimate fellowship and friendship with him. It's interesting how many people are late to the party, so to speak, when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Robert Morris wrote a book called The Friend I Never Knew. It's about the Holy Spirit. Francis Chan wrote Forgotten God, and Jack Deere wrote a book, Surprised by the Spirit. And I think one of the things that happens in all of our lives is that we reach that place where we feel empty and we feel like I need to be refilled. And when you get empty enough, to the point of being frazzled or burnout, or even you just know that your work for God is a lot more of your effort than what God's doing, it's time to be filled. Because what the Holy Spirit can do in 1 second of time, in just 1 minute of time, is greater than all of our strategy, our marketing, our branding, our technology. All of that is important. I'm not in any way demeaning any of that, because God gave us a brain and God gave us technology and God gave us these things that should be used. But the Holy Spirit can do remarkable things. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 Jewish people, seekers and God-fearing people, Gentiles, came from around the world. On that day of feasting, where they traveled up to Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit came down. And then Peter had a new problem, and that was he had to baptize 3,000 people in one day. I would love that problem and welcome that problem. And I think where we're going and the things that God has planned us, the things that he has planned for us to walk in, the gifts that he wants us to have, the intimacy that he wants us to have, and the things that he wants us to be aware of is so important in this time in our lives. We need that kind of fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I was standing, I had to do some banking business the other day in New York City, and I was standing and I had to actually then go to another bank for a different transaction, some stuff, taking care of business. And when I was at the first place, the Holy Spirit began to nudge me and say, I want you to go to that bank that's two or three blocks in the other direction. And my mind took over. Reason took over. And I said, no, where I'm walking back to my apartment is not going to be an inconvenience. It's right on the way. Why should I go over there? But it kept coming. Have you ever had a moment like that where you just know that God is doing something? He's communicating. And because I was stubborn and I wasn't being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, I went to the bank that was on the way home and it was closed. Well, God knew that. He knows everything. You know how amazing God's IQ is? He's all eye and there's no Q to compare anything with. God is brilliant. God's amazing. God's awesome. So on this Pentecost Sunday, remember this, God empowers the church. He unites the nations. And God works with each of us individually. And He tailor makes a life of intimacy for us to have intimate friendship with God through the Holy Spirit. And also He gives us gifts and talents that we can put to use. And He also does so many practical things for you. I don't even have time to tell you of all the great and amazing ways that God just deals with me in a personal level, and the way He deals with you, and many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. I want to pray right now. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost because the gospel had been preached. Peter preached the gospel. Maybe you've never heard the good news that God loves you so much that He sent His Son Jesus, who came and He was born, and He lived a sinless life. He lived the life that we couldn't live. And He died the death that we should have died because we were the bad guys and God was the good one. And yet Jesus died and He took our place. And through repentance and this simple prayer of faith, Jesus can come into your life as He's come into mine. Change your heart. He'll change everything. And then the Bible says that He gives you the promise of the Holy Spirit to come upon you. Let's just pray. It's going to be a short prayer, but just pray with me. Whether you need to receive Christ or be filled with the Holy Spirit or be water baptized, I'd like to ask you to pray with me right now. Father, I thank You for this day, this Pentecost Sunday, such a special time. And we pray the blessing of the Holy Spirit upon everyone viewing today. I thank You in the name of Jesus for Your forgiveness of sins. I thank You, Father, that You forgive us through what Your Son did on the cross. And we receive Jesus into our hearts and ask Him to be our Lord and Savior this day. And thank You, God, that we can follow You in water baptism and be done away with the old life and have a new resurrection power working in us. And I also pray, Lord, fill us with the Holy Spirit. Fill us today and bring Your peace and Your joy in every person today. And Lord, take us to dimensions in You where we've never been. We trust You this day in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, I'd like to ask Pastor Bruce to share with you how you can join in the prayer live moment right now. It's going to be another game changer for you. Just jump in, dial the number, or do exactly what Pastor Bruce says to you, and you're going to have a working experience with somebody right now that's going to be amazing in your life.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.